Haven't seen you since Friday, but it feels like much longer.
Now it's a long day.
Good morning.
Hi, Danny.
Good morning.
How's Sarah doing? Is she getting used to Hani being gone, or is it still shocking?
Well, Hani's been gone for 2 months. Hani's been living in Waterbury.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Where's Waterbury? Connecticut?
Connecticut, yeah, that's where Davida is.
Oh.
So she's helping out there, but you're supposed to wait for Mashiach with your suitcases packed. As soon as you hear that shofar gadol,
yeah.
Hani's been living that way.
Oh, my.
She's been there 45 minutes away from the airport, suitcases packed as soon as she got that entry permit.
Wow. So they didn't let you know till like right then that she could get into the country?
Right. The entry permit, they've been planning it, and they've been pushed off, and she got tickets for right after Sukkot, and they said no, they couldn't. But then they negotiated about the 18th. But the entry permit came Friday.
Oh, my.
And the with a ticket with her flight on Sunday.
Oh, my. Wow. That's really nuts. So Sarah didn't see her off at the airport. She didn't go to Waterbury, did she?
No, she did not. We had thought about going in Sukkot for a Simchat Torah because she was supposed to go then, but then she didn't go anyway. But so we have not seen her. But she is happy.
Yay.
She is. Well, I haven't talked to her after Shabbat, so I don't know how she did there. But she likes her roommate. She's got a rooftop apartment so she can see the world. We talked to her.
That makes all the difference. I can tell you that.
So where is she?
In Harnov at Benoza Miguel. Neveh is one of the Neveh seminaries.
My cousins both live in Harnov. One of my cousins moved to another part of Jerusalem now, but.
What's it called? Benoza what?
Abigail,
right. You said that. I couldn't remember. It was driving me crazy. Benoza Abigail. Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's academic, but there's no homework.
Right.
But she likes that.
I would like that, yeah. Phyllis, what's important in life? No homework.
No homework.
I've done enough homework in my life.
No tests.
No, I don't know. I think this counts as homework that I'm doing here.
You're doing homework.
You're doing a lot of
10 to 15,000 words a week.
Did you get the book? Cake.
What?
Did you get the book?
No.
Oh, it's on its way. You'll get it.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Which book remind me?
It's Rabbi Foreman's
Bereishit. Oh, cool.
What does he call it? Parsha Companion.
Companion. Okay. Thank you. I will have to look for that.
He writes. It's very interesting. Have you ever listened to him?
Yeah, I have. I like it very much.
So his style of he writes it like recreates his speaking style. You'll see.
I don't like listening to lectures, so I appreciate the fact that you are all listening to me. I mean, if I'm listening, I have to listen on 2x speed. Otherwise, I just zone out. I like what he says, but I'm not. The cartoons are cute, but.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in reading his book.
Good. A little bit each week, you know. Okay. And you could talk to Michael about it. You could say, hey, Michael, what do you think of this Parsha's?
Is he,
I sent it to him, too.
Okay.
Okay, good morning.
Okay. Well, that's good morning. But let us talk about Tanakh. We were looking at Tehillim Kuf Yud Aleph. It's this very structured poem to the glory of Hashem. There's the structure here on the screen. You can all see that. It's Hallelujah, Odeh Hashem Kol Levav. And the two halves, Gedolim Ma'aseh Hashem, and ends with Yizkor La'olam Brito, talking about Hashem's manifestation of the world and the physical world that everyone can see it. And then there's Koach Ma'aseh Pigid La'amo. Hashem is revealed to the Jewish people with Mamre Har Sinai, the mitzvot, that Ne'manim Kol B'kudav, all of his laws are faithful, straight, reliable. And Tzivala Olam Brito, that the Brit with Bnei Yisrael, this Brit Sinai, is something that was commanded. I suppose it's something that simply exists. The two sides where Rav Huttner calls the Asar Mamarot of creation and Asar Dibrot of Sinai. Both are Gili Ratzon Hashem, revelation of the divine will.
Interesting that we're doing this now, because we just had Parsha Noah.
Right. So that's Noah when we express that idea of Od Kolimei Aretz Korva Chom Lalaviyam Lo Yishpotu. That's exactly right. But that last pasuk Tet, doesn't end with the Brito. It ends up with this third phrase. Every one of the pasukim have two phrases in here. The pasuk Tet has three in there, because it ends with the phrase of Kadosh V'Nara Shemo. His name, God's fame, glory is holy and awesome. Which unfortunately we can't use the word awesome anymore, because it sounds too teenagery. It's just so awesome. But what does it mean to say it's Kadosh V'Nara Shemo? We say that in Yom Nara'im, that's what the Chazan says, bringing out the Torah. Let's go look at that here. That pasuk synthesizes it. The two of those, because what's our response to this supposed to be? What do we do when we see the Gilui of Hashem and the Asar Ma'amarot in the physical universe that surrounds us? What do we, when we learn Torah, how do we respond to that? That's the answer. It's Kadosh V'Nara Shemo. That's our response supposed to be. This is the way the Rambam puts it in Mishnah Torah. Akel Nechbay V'Nara Hazeh. God. Honored and awesome. Mitzvah Ahavo Uli Rabbi Mena. The mitzvah to love and to fear, to have awe of. Rabbi Shimon often points out that while Shlomo, Mishle, and Kohelet emphasize the Yira side, Tehillim emphasizes the Ahavat Hashem, the feeling close to Hashem. But this particular parak emphasizes the Yira. Kadosh V'Nara. Doesn't say it about Ahavat Hashem. The Rambam says both are important. You need to feel close and yet distant as well. Ne'amar, it says, Ma'ahat Hashem Alkecha, Ve'ne'amar Ed Hashem Alkecha Tira. That's Hilchot Yisodei Torah, fundamental rules of our relationship with God. Ve'heich hi aderech la'avato, v'yirato. And what does that mean? How do we get there? V'shah Hashit bonen ha'adam b'masav. When a person tries to understand the acts of God, U'barav, and a creation, ha'nefilim v'gadolim that are wondrous, we look at the universe, V'yira mehem chachmato, and we'll see within them Hashem's wisdom. Shein la'erech lokes, that is infinite, unbound, and unbounded. V'yadu ohev, that see how wonderful Hashem is, that's what the ahava is, that this is, that's great. I gotta get more of this. M'shabeach, when praise, m'fa'er, mitaveh, ta'ava gadola, and we'll, as in great desire, l'da Hashem gadol, to know more. That's ahavat Hashem. Everything I learn, I want to learn more. Everything I want to be just like that. I want to do that. Whatever I can do to be closer. Moshe Mar David, Sama Nafshi Lo Kim Kelchai. My soul thirsts. That's Avat Hashem. That's not the end step, where the Rambam puts it. That's part one. Kumechashev B'dorim Ha'el Atzman. But when I think about these things, Miad Hu Nitara L'Acharav. You immediately start quailing, kind of moving backwards from it. The closer I get, the further I move backwards, because it's too awesome. V'yirav yifached, and I will become afraid. Yedea shubriya katana shfela afela, that I realize that I am so tiny in the face of this infinite greatness. A little creation, lowly in the dark. Omei bedat kala, as I put it, I have a primitive monkey brain. I can't understand all of this. It's so small before this perfect knowledge. Moshe Amar David, just again we quote Tehillim, Ki Eresh Shemecha, when I see your heavens, Maaseh Esbotecha, the work of your hands, Yerech Chavim Asher Kananta, the heavens that you created, Ma'anosh Ki Tizkereno, then I end up with a feeling of Ma'anosh Ki Tizkereno, what is man that I remember him? And so Rav Soloveitchik put that together. So the idea that the Rambam says is that I start with the Ahava, and the closer I get with the Ahava, the more I realize how far I am. And that's what leads to Yira. If on the highest
that
level...
There was a word there I didn't recognize. Mitra'eh? What word is it?
I've translated it as to quail, to draw back in fear.
Oh, no. No, it was like move backward.
Yeah.
Where is that? Oh, there it is. Nirta.
Let's see what. Dr. Ko says about this.
Near touch.
That's why I translated it as quail.
Quail?
Yeah, to go back. Nitra in Milug says. Okay, it's not going to tell us what it is. Chashrit yet nizhar chashash, to be careful, to be afraid. Or chak b'mtsiut iyum, to be distant because of terror.
You know that word? I mean, you've seen it in other...
I don't know. I mean, I've seen it. I've quoted this before, so that seems to be what it is. I guess I was quite credited as quail, to, you know, with that sense of, that starting sense of fear. Okay.
New word of the day.
So the idea, the reason.
It reminds you of when we got the tower and we backed away.
Yes, that's exactly right.
We told Moshe to be our intermediary because we couldn't, we were too afraid to be one-on-one with Hashem.
Yes, that's exactly right. Because we want Avat Hashem, but Avat Hashem is not a good thing, purely because without the Yira, then we have nothing. So this is the way Rav Soloveitchik puts it in this, Maimonides Between Philosophy and Halacha was a book reconstructed from Rav Soloveitchik's lectures on the Mor Nevuchim, which were never recorded. He gave a class on Mor Nevuchim in the 50s. Somebody kept notes, and then Lawrence Kaplan took those notes and wrote a book. So it's not really by Rav Soloveitchik. It's a reconstruction based on the notes plus other of his works. But you can imagine Rav Soloveitchik might have said this. If on the highest level about Ramamba, if on the highest level man draws near to God, it's included in the infinite divine order of being, right? I want to be close. Then is there any room left for the mitzvot masiyot? And what is the mitzvah doing? Why do I have to do things? I just love Hashem. That's all I need. Would not all of these commandments say, for example, the command of tzitzit, appear to belong only to preliminary pedagogical stage, when man prepares himself to reach the summum bonum, which is the sum of all good. Okay, you have to do mitzvot, and that'll get me to the point where I get to this Avat Hashem, being one with God. Once, however, he has attained that goal, why pay attention to such trivial matters as observing the commandments? And people will read the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, saying exactly that. The ideal form is the ideal form of serving Hashem is the philosopher simply is one in his mind there. So they're saying that, at least from the left, this is the analysis of the last chapters of Mor Nevuchim, saying, no, that's not right. Indeed, precisely this antinomian, you know what antinomian means? It's rejecting against, nomos means law. Antinomian is a, started as literally as the description of the Christian philosophy of Paul, that we can reject the laws of the Torah because all we need is to accept Jesus. Mm-hmm. This antinomian conclusion was drawn by the Sabbateans and the Frankists. That's Shabbat to me. Once I've reached the point of the ultimate gula, this is Olam Haba, then I don't need to keep any mitzvot at all. Then he adds a little ding. Perhaps these antinomian tendencies were even discernible in Hasidism in its beginnings. And that's, people have made that point about Hasidus, you know, that I don't have to worry about this amount of tefillah because I love Hashem so much. Perhaps. And we're going to summarize by saying love means never having to say you're sorry. Right? If I love Hashem, then I can do anything. But that's wrong. That's why we need to lead, we still need the yira there. If all I have about Hashem, I end up being Shabbat Tzvi. The yira there to pull back to say there's something I need to obey. I am subject to God because we keep the mitzvah because the Yirat Hashem, that we are obeying God. And he summarizes it. Thus, from Maimonides, the love of God both endows the ethical norm with authority. So I love Hashem, therefore I imitate Hashem. It's the mode par excellence of imitatio Dei. Hashem is merciful, therefore I am merciful. So I learn from my Avat Hashem. And it's what inspires me to learn Torah. I want to know more about Hashem. That's what Ahava means. I want to get closer. And it inspires me to learn science because that's also Gilui Ratz Hashem. That's what it means by rehabilitates the theoretical halacha. Avat Hashem leads to Talmud Torah as a philosophy. I want to learn that. But the fear of God rehabilitates the practical halacha. It's Yira that says, okay, this is why I keep the mitzvot. the ritual ceremony laws on the practical level. So to bring back, I'm going to keep switching back and forth. So let's go put the pasuk back here.
Why use that, Mamrei?
Yeah, that's a good sign. It's been around for, it's been around forever. I mean, people have it's there. But here, right, where it says, it talks about the mitzvah, then Kadosh V'Nora Shemo is our conclusion from this. So that's why he ends up with, David ends, the last pasuk is Reshit Chachma is Yirat Hashem. Giving wisdom is Yirat Hashem. I can't look at this, at the laws, and Rambam says, end up with an Ava. I just want to learn more and more and more. I need the Yirat because otherwise I don't have the Ne'amanim Kop Udav. I don't have the mitzvot at all. And I end up sort of missing the point of the Brit here. So I start the parak with Od Hashem Chol Evav, Gedolim Maaseh Hashem, Ne'amanim Kol Pekudav. I look at that, that leads to my Avat Hashem and the desire to cleave to Hashem, and that's a good thing. But the next step needs to be, the closer I get, the smaller I feel myself. The sense of the holy, the numinous, and I end up with my response being Kadosh V'Nara Shemo. Yeah, closest to Hashem leads us to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Chanun, Apata Chanun, that I have to imitate Hashem, and that's what the Patriarch says, but then it leads to the awe of God, and that's Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem. He says,
Oseihem, who is that, to all who do the mitzvot?
Or that's exactly the way I would read that. That's the only plural thing we have here. That's why I'm saying that the Yirat Hashem, Reshit Chachma, it's not the beginning of wisdom, but it's where it's the end of the beginning. From here, I can start to learn Torah correctly. Once I get to the point of Yira, if I'm just to the point of Ava, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm just going to swoon. Okay, the Sechel Tov is literally success, but also intellectual success. The Chol Oseh who do the mitzvot. You got to do the mitzvot. You can't just learn. And that's why I said Reshit Chachma is the, it's not the starting point. It's the end of the beginning.
You could say the same thing about learning.
Meaning what?
The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
One hopes that that's what you get. The other possibility is the more I learn, the more arrogant I get about how much I know, and the more superior I am to everybody else.
I feel more learned, the more I
realize
I don't know.
That is the right answer, right? That's the side of Ne'amanim Kol Pekudav. I'm a learning Torah. I realize how infinite it is, and I don't have that. And if you look at, so the corresponding to this Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem, at the beginning of Chachma Yirat Hashem, you can contrast that to Sefer Kohelet, right? Kohelet is talking about, where do I start if I'm trying to understand my place in the world? Well, it's whatever I do, I'm still going to die and it's all going to be gone. So what does it all mean? I'm going to quote Heidegger here. Heidegger talks about all of life is Zeit zum Tod. It's being toward death. So what Kohelet ends up by looking at that, well, what's the point of existing if I'm just going to die? He ends at the point that Tehillim starts, right? So called the Abar Kol Nishmat, the end of the day, after everything's been said, Elokim Yirei, et Mitzotav Shemor, Kizek Kol Adam. And that's the end of Kohelet, as opposed to Tehillim, which is Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem, Sechel Tov Kol Oseihem. That's where we're gonna move from there. So now, right, so Kohelet's gonna tell me where I'm gonna, really, it's really the start. Tehillim says, okay, now that I've accepted that, where do I go? And that same phrase of Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem appears in Mishlei as well. Well, the Sifrei Emet appears in Iyov, that I start with the Yira and the Mitzvot. And that's what allows us to have that Sechel Tov. It's Kol Oseihem. You have to do the Mitzvot. You have to be committed to do the Mitzvot. That's the Gemara the Mishnah, rather, in Pirkei Avot. V'chanina ben Dosa Omer, Kol Sheyirat Chet'o Kodemet L'Chokmato, Chokmato Mitkayemet. If you have the Yira, then your Chokma will last. It means meaningful. But if you're chachma, what you know is more than your yirat chet, I would brought into the all this Yirat Hashem, Ein Chachmat Kayemet, it won't last. It doesn't have any meaning. And similarly, he says the same thing about Maasim. If what you're doing is more, that's not a number, but in terms of import, in terms of what means something, Chachmat Kayemet, then your Chachmat will last. It has meaning. But if you what you know is more than what you're doing, you know all the stuff, but you're not doing any of it, then it has no meaning. It will not last.
That's, I hate to say it, but I'm not. I don't like your translation about real success. I mean,
okay. Seichel is a hard thing, and I hear you, and I agree with you. That's not a great answer. How do you want to translate Seichel Tov?
It's a good idea. Like, they're smart. They're common sense. They're...
Right. So, but through Tanakh, so when we have by David, when he, after Goliath, is David Chodrachov Maskil. He was Maskil.
Enlightened.
He has a sense of being successful in Tanakh. So it's a hard word to translate. I don't know how to put those two together. But you're right. I mean,
we use seichel as being smart,
right?
You know?
But in Tanakh, it doesn't exactly mean that, because there is the parallel between the seichel and the sechil and the naval, the fool. It has this intellectual side of it as well. It's cool to use.
It's just common sense. It's just like a good idea, a good way to live. It's smart. It's,
yeah. So if you can come up with a good word, I'd appreciate that.
Okay. I would call it emotional intelligence.
You could do that. But that doesn't go with the call Seichel's emotional intelligence. Give me a second.
You could be intellectually very smart but not successful because you don't have a sense of yourself with other people in the world. I don't know if that's okay. What I call Seichel Tov.
Yeah, okay, so that's good. That's right. So you can have your chachma that's merubah me'ma'asah, then you don't have Seichel.
Yes.
That's right. Great. I still have a great word there. Okay,
we'll work on that. Ruthie, that's our homework.
I'll be right back.
That's our homework, Ruthie.
Ruthie, you study psychology. What would you say?
She's on mute. Unmute, Ruthie.
I just want to see how our school
is. Okay, I'll try to do my homework, Phyllis.
Okay.
I got the message.
Seichel Tov. Yeah, so our school translates is good understanding. Purely intellectual there. And there we go.
Understanding is pretty good. Understanding is more than being smart, you know.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Okay. So, yes, I would agree that my translation was not ideal. And then it ends with the pasuk. At the end of all of this, once we've done that, then Tehilato Omeret La'ad. His praise lasts forever. That's the inclusio. It starts with hallelujah and ends with tilato. Just like tilal David ends with tilat Hashem yidabarpi. It sort of pulls it all together. Question then is, tilato, the praise of who?
Hashem, no?
Well, that's a good question, right? Who'd say that? So in the context, just like we had in Pasuk Gimel, we had Tzidkato Omeret La'ad, Tzidkato Omeret La'ad. Those are parallel. Those God's praise. Hashem's praise lasts forever. Yeah, really there. But the Pasuk is talking about it's Tzidkal Tolokol Osehem, all of them, and then Tzidkato Omeret La'ad. So the Mepharshim usually say that it's talking about the Yirei Hashem. That once I am Tzidkal Tov, and that's there, because it forms a transition to the next. To the next parak. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. That Tilato Omeret La'ad is Kol Echad Me'osim. Every one of the Osehem is Tilato Omeret La'ad. The praise of those who do it. Once I've gotten, so I'm looking at Hashem and then I start praising the person. Tumi Radak, Tilato Omeret La'ad. The Osehem Ma'aseh Yosher, the person who does the right thing, Shomer Torah Mitzvot, keeps Torah Mitzvot. That his praise will last forever. So that's why it's the transition to the next parak, right? This parak is all about Hashem, Odeshem, Lekol Bo'evav, then Re'eshid Chacham Yod Hashem, Tilato Me'el Ad. Next parak immediately is Aliyah, Ashri Ish Yireat Hashem. We pointed out before that the two prakim are parallel to each other in structure. Clearly, one goes with the next one.
I think that's a strained reading.
A strained reading. Again, it's pretty consistent with all the Mepharshim. All Sigi read it that way as well. But I think the ambiguity is there. Again, I read it alone, then clearly it's talking about Hashem. I read it in context of the next one.
Okay.
Clearly they're parallel. Then I can't avoid the fact that it starts with Ashrei Ish Yireat Hashem. It sandwiches it in the mean. And I'd emphasize that the ambiguity, I think, is intentional. Right? It's poetry. The meaning is there, and that everything that we're saying about Hashem, we're saying about the tzaddik as well. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be emulating Hashem in there. So everything that we're saying, the tila, is going to be applied to both Hashem and the tzaddik. And read it both ways. So that is the end of... Oh, look at that. There's a little thumbs up on Phyllis's little picture over here. I will, as an aside... People respond to my messages with a thumbs up to say they're agreeing. And obviously I'm too old because I can barely see it. So I see there's a yellow blob on my phone. And I have no idea. It's like, wait, is that a good thing or not? Yes, I have to look closer and it's a thumbs up. So if you want to answer me, just do, the K is a fine. Just one letter K, I get that. That's short for okay. Which, yeah, but thumbs up, it takes me a while to actually see what you're talking about. But thank you. But we're going to go now to Perkufi Bet.
Just saying, okay.
Very good. and again, it's in terms of the structure, it's the same as Perkufi Aleph. They clearly go together. It starts with Hallelujah. It has an alphabetical acrostic, Alpha Gimel, with two letters for every pasuk, except for the last two. Psukim, which have three letters. They have very common words, very common themes. But this one is clearly not about Hashem. It is about the tzaddik, Yireat Hashem. Luya Ashrei Ish Yireat Hashem. And this is Rav Samen. We talked about it from the Gush. He analyzes it. And he says here that the structure here is not in two parts, but in three. Three parallel sections. Because all of them end with what I think is the main theme of this parak. It's Sitkato Omeret La'ad. Zecho Lam Yet Tzadik, Sitkato Omeret La'ad. Each section ends with that idea that not only the Tzadik does the right thing, Yirei Hashem, Mitzvotav, right?
Danny, it's an alphabet. It's the alphabet.
Yeah, it's the alphabetic crossing. Yes. But just like Kufir Aleph, it's the same thing. Alpha Gimel Dalet Hey Vav Zayin Chet. Yes. But within that, it divides into three parts. So the alphabet across we said A emphasizes its importance as a poem, and it's sort of its Aleph to Tav includes everything. This is important. B, it's easy to remember. So you can say this even if you don't have your Sefer Tehillim with you, because it's that important. It's got this simple structure. It's all in iambic tetrameter, so you can put a good tune on it so you can remember it. And it sets the parallel up with Kufiyat Aleph. God is great, Yireat Hashem. Man is great. He's the Yireat Hashem. Right? Asha Ish Yireat Hashem, what we said before, mitzvotav, chafetz ma'od, the Yira, and the mitzvot. Same thing we said in the previous parak. That our observation of Hashem should lead us to. Now I'm going to praise the one who does that. In the three sections. First section is introduced to Tzaddik. It's introduced the message of the previous parak. And it is Yirei Hashem mitzvotav chafetz ma'od. Not just that he loves the mitzvot, but he likes them a lot. What does ma'od mean?
I thought chafetz you were talking to about.
Well, chafetz is great, but ma'od is even more than your chafetz there. The ma'od is what I want to emphasize here. And Ibn Ezra says it, it's ma'od, is b'chol ma'odo yaseh, with all of your ma'od. So it doesn't so much mean a lot, but there's the idea that we have that from Shema, Right. What does me'odecha mean there?
Your being?
That's usually the lavav, is the heart, the soul, and all of your
stuff. Resources.
Right. Everything that you have is your me'odecha. Rashi translates, chol me'odecha, v'chol mamonecha, all of your money. Right. The people who love their money more than their lives. It's true of most of us, because obviously we work far too hard. That's not healthy. So whether it's b'chol nafshecha or b'chol modecha, you should love Hashem even more than that. And this pack really talks about using the resources in their service of Hashem. Those are the mitzvot that the parak is going to be talking about. The other two sections deal with how we serve Hashem with our mamon, with our resources, with our belongings, right? And the two ways we do that, we'll see that inside. One is to use to help others. That's the mitzvot we do. It says, Tov ish chonenu ma'aveh, that a good man is merciful and lends, gives to others, and pizer natan levyanim, spreads out wealth to the poor. That's one side of it. And the other is, and we'll see it inside, is to be satisfied with what Hashem gives us. We fulfill the mitzvah of b'chol modecha by not wanting more. That is the other side of serving Hashem with our mamon. And we'll have to go through it in order, but he will not falter. This tzaddik will never fall. And the meaning here, it doesn't mean that bad things will never happen. It means that you never feel like you're falling. You always feel supported. Whatever happens, it's okay. That's part of being near Hashem. You say the pasuk in Birkat Hamazon, that's always kind of bothersome. Nara iti gam zakanti v'lo tzak ne'azav. I've never seen a tzad, right? Phyllis knows that, right? It's just like, well, of course we see tzadik ne'azav that are poor. Zar b'vakesh lachem. We've never seen a tzadik whose children are begging for bread. We do see that. So this is the way Hirsch understands that pasuk. I think it applies here too as well. That translates zar b'vakesh lachem as even when his children are begging. So, tzadik is not ne'azav even when Zarav Rakesh Lachem. Tzadik doesn't feel abandoned. We have to depend on others. Hashem is providing, does them in various ways. And so here, within our parak, the tzadik gives graciously and also accepts graciously. So he feels he's always got the wealth. He always feels rich. So we'll continue on and look at the parak inside. This is the happy, really. There's no stress. It's the person who fears Hashem and serves Hashem with chol me'odav. Let's put it that way. Does the mitzvah with chol me'odav. Gibor ba'aretz yezaro. His children will be giborim. They will, excuse me. Just look in here. That is the reward. His children will be giborim in the sense of being important people, and the legacy will be carried on. Dor yisharim yivarech, and the generations will praise the tzaddik. Hona v'osher b'veito, there is wealth within his house. And again, that no matter how much money the tzaddik has, they think themselves wealthy. That's the message of this parak. That's the hon v'osher. You always have wealth, glory in your house. It's tzidkat kol melech la'ad, and that tzedek will last forever. And we'll emphasize what that means at the end of the parak. But again, that's the end of each section. Next section is arach b'choshech or l'yasharim. The
light shines in the night.
Yeah, there's light shining for the righteous. So we're going to figure out what that means. Let's hold on that, translating that now. But then it goes, Chanun Rachum V'Tzadik. Question, who is Chanun Rachum V'Tzadik?
Hashem.
Right. So if you look at that parrot, so look at Pasuk Dalet. We're going to go back to Kuf Yud Aleph, the parallel one. Pasuk Dalet ends the same way. Chanun Rachum Hashem. So here we have the same parallel. Pasuk Dalet, it ends with that. Chanun Rachum V'Tzadik. And we have this, again, this ambiguity. Is it Hashem that's the Chanun to the Tzadik, or is it Tzadik being the Chanun Rachum?
I would think both now.
Yes, and I think that's my point, is that the ambiguity is there, that's intentional. It's hard to say whether we're talking about Hashem or the Tzaddik, because both of them are there. And then the way the Malbim puts it, it says Hashem hu Tzaddik rachum v'tzaddik, hu chanun rachum v'tzaddik, because Hashem is merciful, gracious, or gracious, merciful, and just. Shia says zot im mitzad hachanina l'arbot tzcharo, that Hashem is doing that for to increase the reward of the righteous, whether it's not, whether even if it's not deserved, he said rachamim, marek evan altav. He says that rachamim is that whatever Hashem does is to purify the tzaddik, to eliminate his sins. Misa tzedek, because it's what's deserved. She kabel on a show alchet asher asa. The Malbim says that this is talking about that Hashem is the tzaddik, chanun rachum tzaddik with the Yirei Hashem. But the Rav Samet says, no, we can read it better to say, talking about the tzaddik is chanun rachum. Let's say, shel hatzela, chanun rachum v'tzaddik. The subject of this verse, chanun rachum v'tzaddik. Harei mufri rashba. I would explain it as, ha'isha tzaddik, hu chanun rachum. The tzaddik is chanun rachum. Chanun rachum, the subject is tzaddik. One way to read it. Here's saying Tzia Radak, Pishule Devarav. This is what the Radak refers to in the end of his understanding. Again, question of how to word it to go both ways. This is the Radak Efshar. Shia Perush Chanun Rachum, that it could be that the meaning of Rachum B'Chanun, Al Ha'adam Hayashar, for the person who is righteous. Shalamad Midat Baro, who learns from Hashem's action. Again, this is the message is in the Tatiya Day that we need to him to Hashem, Mahura Achum Atah Rachum. Amnon Nachon, Shalfi Purusa. But the truth is, if we're reading it this way, Yep, Sukenu Makom Yachid B'mikra Shebo Ba'im Atarim Chanun Rachum B'yachas La'adam. This is the only place in Tanakh where human beings are described as Chanun Rachum. It's always used as the Midot of Hashem. I don't know that offhand, but I'm going to believe Rav Samet. I'm sure he knows that. Okay. But there's an obvious reason for this. Because of the influence, literally, of Kuf Yud Aleph on this, which is Kuf Yud Bet. Again, the parallel is being set up. So it's saying that, yes, Hashem is Chanun Rachum. He's always Chanun Rachum. So therefore, you too. Chet Nemar Hashem Chanun Rachum Hashem. That letter Chet in Kuf Yud Aleph is Chanun Rachum Hashem. You'll explain it is Chanun Rachum V'Tzadik. So here we have the exact parallel. That's the message of it. But look at the pasuk. It doesn't. The wording isn't quite there because it's not. It doesn't say Chanun Rachum Hatzadik, like the Tzadik is. Gracious and righteous is a tzaddik. So chanun v'rachum v'tzaddik. It's not quite parallel to the other one, which says chanun v'rachum Hashem. So, v'dayin yesh l'barer. So we need to explain. Et tafkuda shel vav hachibur. What's this and there? I would translate chanun v'rachum v'tzaddik. Gracious, compassionate, and righteous. How do I translate that? Bechora, it seems, Hayat Sariach Lomar Chanun Rachum Tzadik, if I'm translating Tzadik as the subject. So clearly that's the wrong translation. Shila Zunit Barer Lacher Shinit Barer Tzela Harishana. So we're going to explain that once we figure out the previous verse, Shel Psukah Enu, which is Zarach Bachoshech Orli Sharim. It shines in the darkness, light for the
righteous,
okay? What is shining? Who is shining? Who are the Yesharim?
Hashem. Hashem is the
Yeah, so that is obviously that is the way. If really the pasuk is being about Hashem, then it's Hashem shines a light for the Yesharim, which is fine, but that's not the subject of our parak. That's where he's going to push it here. Kanaka belat dat perushenu harishenu harishonim. So here we're gonna accept the ancient commentators. Shapirshu says zarach upo yotze. That zarach is a transitive verb. It is shining something, shining a light as a riach that we don't have, but we don't have the subject. Someone is shining light. Ulumihu nosei shapozim. Who's the subject of that? Who's doing the shining? And Dan just says, Hashem is doing the shining, right? Hashem shines light on the tzaddik, that's a good thing. But within the context of this parak, she'gibor mizmarenu hu hanoseh, that the hero of our parak is the subject. Hu zeh shehizriach or le'sharim, that the tzaddik is one who shines light for others. That's what it means to be chanun rachume. That part of what it means to be a tzaddik is to be a guiding light for everyone else. Who's this? He's riach or le'sharim. To shurim b'tzara, that those who are left in dire straits, amedumela chashecha, that they're there, and that the others who are in darkness, hazrachat or he metaphora. I don't think you've ever seen that word in Hebrew.
Metaphor.
Yeah, I got that, but. Yeah, mashal.
Unfortunately, there's more and more English in Hebrew these days.
I know. That's why the problem with reading modern Hebrew is that it's all, I got to translate that to English. Hazrachat or he metaphora l'siyua she'siyya lehem b'tzaratam. That the tzaddik is shining light on others as a metaphor for supporting them in their trouble, siyua nafshi, whether it's spiritual support, siyua chumri, or material support. Again, we're talking about the ma'o, I'm supporting others. The shiura katufu info. So therefore, the way to read this pasuk is, azariach b'choshech ol esharim, the one who shines light for the righteous, the one who gives light to others, that is the one who is chanun of rachum and tzaddik. The whole phrase is a description of what a Yirei Hashem is supposed to be.
That's very beautiful.
I like that. Okay, so Zarach b'choshech or l'sharim, that this same person, Gibor ba'arad, the Yirei Hashem, shines light for others and is chanun v'chum tzaddik. And what does that mean? Tov ish chonenu ma'aveh. No longer a metaphor, we say we're going to take these even literally. You are lending money to others, you're gracious and granting. Yechalkel devarav mishpat, gives all of his things out justly. And again, it continues on, ki la'olam lo yimot, and he will not, such a person will never falter, in the sense of will never feel that they are faltering, and we'll see that in the next section. Zichr la'olam yet tzaddik parallel to tzaddikei kol ha'ad. That his reputation will last forever. He'll be famous. That's a good thing for the tzaddik. Zecher olam. And then the next section kind of emphasizes this lo yimot meaning. Mishmu'ara lo yira. I'm just looking what I've done over here. Notice I don't have enough on there. Mishmu'ara lo yira. That the tzaddik, the Yirei Hashem, will not fear bad news. Not so much they'll never get bad news, but it will not be a cause of fear. Have a support.
I thought he wouldn't be the subject of Mishmu'ara.
Mishmu'a from?
I was thinking of Shmu'a like rumors. People talking about
they will not fear. I'm thinking about where he will not be afraid when he gets bad news. Bad news happening there. We'll have the security that even when bad things happen, so has the security that it's okay. I will survive it because it goes. The next part of it is nachon libo, batach b'Hashem. My heart is secure. Sure in Hashem. Samuch libo lo yira. They're is samukh, is reliable, is well supported, and will not be afraid. Okay, a little bit of a pun between yirat Hashem, therefore is lo yira. If you have yirat Hashem, then you don't have to be yira from the mishmu'ara'a. Arashay yir'eb b'tzarav, and then again a pun of yir'eb meaning to look at. I will, yeah, you have a chance to look at, yeah, they will look at their enemies, which in Tehillim is always a sense of overcoming them. We'll see their defeat. Pizer natan lev yonim, as we said before, repeating the same idea of giving to others, the door is to spread out, to scatter to the poor, and tzidkato omed lad. End of part three of this, same ending, that their fame as a tzaddik will last forever, and karno tarum lechavod is, let's go back to the structure of this, that's the summary of these three parts, there we go. All right, each of them ends from all these things, and it ends with this karno tarum lechavod, which is parallel to the kadosh v'arash shemo ben Hashem.
What's karno, like a shining light? Like Moshe karno, or?
Yeah, it's, literally, it's the horn. His horn is raised up, which is tough metaphor to say. Yeah, I would connect it to the fame, right? That's the shine. And I like the shining way of looking at it. It's the rays of light, right? You said you are zorech or layisharim. You spring out light, and these lights, the tzaddik's lights are shining out in honor. Everybody's seeing this. This is a good thing. Right, and again, it's the fame idea, which I think is a little bit interesting. Why do I care about fame so much? Why does it matter about Tzidkato Omed La'ad? Again, everybody else knows about this.
Because the idea is you're spreading Tzidkato, that righteousness should be spread out.
I think that's the other side of the lesson. This is what makes it tzaddik. The fact that they are Hashem, Shomer Tzotav, they are Chanun, giving to others, satisfying what they have. But the lesson of it at the end is that you got to be giving the lesson to other people. It's got to spread. That's what the Karno Tarum, that the, you know, again, the rays of light are spreading out from there. Zorach Ol Yisharim. And that's what I want to talk about, that, well, you know, that I should care. If I'm the tzaddik, I should care what others are thinking about me because I want them to be watching me and learning from me. That's an important part of what it means to tzaddik. And I'm going a little bit more.
But it's more about his teachings and his righteous deeds that he's concerned about, not that he himself is the topic.
Right. But I'm going to get a little David Foreman here, if I might. In that style here. We're going to look at Tanakh and look at the lessons of it and some subtleties in here. So I'm going to go back to Yosef. When he's going to be about to be killed by, the brothers are conspiring to kill Yosef. They're going to throw him, they see the Baal HaChomer coming, and Reuven says, no, let's not kill him. Vishma Reuven, Vaitzilev Miyadam. And Reuben heard what they were planning and saved him, Yosef, from them. And he said, let's not kill him. And so Reuben says, Al tishpichu dam, don't spill blood. Hashlich oto laborazeh. Let's go throw him in the pit. Hashem Abba, that's in the wilderness. Biyad al tishpichu bo, we will not hurt him directly. Laman hatzil oto miyadam lashivo olaviv. And the text tells us that he said it not in order to kill him, but to save him, so he could be brought back to his father. Text tells us that. This is the Midrash on that pasuk. Lamdacha Torah derech eretz. Torah tells us the right way to act. Kisha adam oseh mitzvah. When a person is doing mitzvah, ye oseh otah b'lev sameach. You should be overjoyed to do a mitzvah. She'ilu haya yodeh Reuven, she'akash baruch hu kotev acharav, yishmar Reuven v'atzlim l'adam. That if Reuven had known that he would be recorded in the Torah, and it said that, okay, that Reuben saved Yosef, he wouldn't have just made this trick about the pit, he would have picked him up on his shoulders, and brought him back explicitly. Similarly, You go, hey, Aaron, you're there. And Aaron goes to meet Moshe. Moshe is at the burning bush. He's told to go rescue Bnei Israel. And Hashem says, go out, and Aaron's going to come to greet you and bring you into Egypt. If Aaron had known, Aaron had known that he would have been written down in the Torah and said, Aaron's going to come out to meet you. If he would have come out with a marching band, he would have just come out by himself. Similarly, Boaz and Ruth had known that Boaz would have been written about by Yitzpat La Kali, that he gave her, he transferred a couple of roast grains to Ruth. He would have served her. If you know it would be written down, he would have served her a nice meal with a fattened calf. He wouldn't have just handed over in the tzabat and the tongs a couple of roast grains. If all these people, if they had known that they would be written down in the story, it would have been a much more glorious story. So Yalkashmoni continues. The Sha'avar, after I got this lesson, hey Adam Ose Mitzvah, Vanevim Kotvimota. That's fine if I'm doing a mitzvah and I know I'm going to be written down in Tanakh. Akshav She'en Nevi'im, but there are no more Nevi'im, Mikotevota. Like, what am I getting? I'm not going to get written down in Sefer Nevi'im if I do a mitzvah. No, the answer is Eliyahu Mashiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chotem. That it's sealed in a spiritual book. Eliyahu Mashiach can write them down. The Amar, that's what says Malachi, Az Debru Yireh Hashem. This is a quote in Malachi about the Acharit Hayamim. Says if you can tave Sefer Zicharon lefanav, that Hashem is still writing down a Sefer Zicharon. No, Zicharon. This is a quote from Malachi. You're saying it's no point in worshiping God. What benefit do we have that we kept all these mitzvot? We went upright before Hashem. It's no good.
What's Betza? Betza?
Betza. Prophet.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, Yehuda says that to them. Ma betza kina roga rachinu. Same phrase there.
Oh, is it usually a negative? No.
Not necessarily.
It's not like shochad and...
No, it's just, I mean, this phrase is negative. It's like, what's the point of serving Hashem? And he continues on and says, no, it's important because Az Nid Beru Yireh Hashem Ish Areya, because after we see the final reward, then the Yireh Hashem will be speaking one to another. Then Shev Hashem, and Hashem will listen. Yishama, and we'll hear what they're saying. B'katev Sefer Zichrono Fanav, that there will be written in a book. For those who crush him. It's all written down. So Rav Kamenetsky is bothered by this. That the idea that Reuben, Aaron, and Boaz were so vain that, you know, they needed to know that if they had known they had written a book, they would have done a much better job of it. If I know, you know, you were write it down, I would have brought out a band and I would have baked the cake. They would have done a better job of it. There are two answers. In my humble opinion, the issue is not so much they would have done a better job if they knew it was written down, they just didn't realize what they were doing was so important. That what they were doing was such an important thing. He thought, okay, I'm saving my brother here. That if he had known the implications were that this was going to lead to the slavery in Egypt, it would have been a much bigger deal. But it's still hard because then he's still saving his brother from being killed. It's still a big deal. So the Knesset continues on. I would rather say this is better. They didn't realize that what they were doing was going to be written down the Torah. Why does that matter? The Torah can neviim yaviu uvda zola darot, that they would be an example for future generations. Yulo hayodin inyan historihu, if they had known that they would become history, that what they were doing was not just what they're doing now, but they're actually going to be an example. They're written down in history books. It literally would have beautified their inside. They would have made what they were feeling inside explicit. That bar is Aramaic for outside. Their outside would have shown their value. In other words, it's that Aaron would have come with a marching band with tupim mecholot, because he clearly is happy that Moshe is there, but he would have expressed it more. That he's doing a mitzvah, you have to say it out loud. Shehare inyan ledorotu, because then everybody would see it. That's why the lesson for us now, even now, you shouldn't think. The Torah is already finished. Then what we do doesn't matter, because we're not going to be lessons for the future. No. Look, that's not true. Everything that we do is a lesson for the future. Everything that you do, I'm interested in chativa, is a piece of the future of Judaism. It's all being written down. Every mitzvah that we do is an example for future generations. And you have to do what you're doing as though you're being watched. And that comes the pasuk about Reuven makes that obvious. Because Rashi makes a comment that seems obvious. When it says that Reuven saved Yosef, Laman Hatzilto, in order to save him. And Rashi says, Ruach HaKodesh Me'idah, that the Torah is testifying a revenge shlo amar zot elo hatziloto. Right? Torah is saying that he said this, go, don't kill him, throw him in a pit in order to save him. The reason why the Rashi is not obvious is because Torah never does that. Torah never tells us what people are thinking. We have very little inside life of the characters. We have to look at what they do. Right? So, same thing with Aaron. Aaron says, Rachav esamach libo. Hashem says, he will be happy in his heart. Always see the external action of words, and we have to derive the character's internal state. This is famous essay by Eric Auerbach, who was an early 20th century German literary critic, comparing Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, with Greek literature, Homer. The Bible thoughts and feelings remain unexpressed, and are only suggested by the silence and the fragmentary speeches. The whole, permeated with most unrelieved suspense and directed toward a single goal, remains mysterious and fraught with background. That's what we see there. So the fact that the Torah felt necessary to say, Laman Hatzil Oto, that's a criticism. That's what the Medrash is saying. That Reuven didn't express what he was feeling. He was doing a mitzvah that wouldn't make it obvious, so nobody else is going to learn from it.
But Danny, can you just say one thing? He was working as the backdrop of his brothers who hated him, who hated Yosef. And so he didn't want to be so outwardly expressive because they wanted to kill him. So the fact that he was using this to save him, even though it doesn't look like he's saving him, that was the point.
Yeah, I think that's a very shot way of looking at it. And the Midrash is saying, if the Reuven had known that he would be written that way, he would have carried him out explicitly. He would have overcome that.
Ah.
Again, it's a majestic way of looking kind of at the lesson there. Yeah, it may have been the right decision at that point. He needed to do that. But still,
Boaz is the only one in the book of Ruth who has these people gleaning on his land, and he invites Ruth after he sees her to glean only in his land. So even though she's gleaning and he's not bringing her a truckload of food, he's still doing something that it doesn't seem like the rest of the Israel are doing.
Yes.
And
we're agreeing that they're doing the right thing. The implication, though, of the Midrash is that we need to be acting as though we are a lesson for the future, and everybody's got to see us, because nobody knows what we're thinking. But part of what you're doing when you're doing a mitzvah.
That the Torah doesn't want us to just be better than everybody else. The Torah really wants us to go out of our ways, to be a tzaddik.
Yes. I think what that Rabbi Kamenetsky is saying is that the part of the point is the lesson, that we're still doing that. That's still us. Yes, you should be a tzaddik. Do the right thing. But don't hide it. know, there is a place for the plaques about everyone, you know, what, who's donated what. It's not necessarily about vanity. It's to encourage others.
I know, but you sort of feel like, you know, you're doing it like L'shem Mitzvah, not to have your name on a plaque.
There's a balance there. I mean, but the reason why everyone wants, why the agencies want the names on the plaques is to show everybody else that.
Yeah.
In other words, I want to encourage everybody else to give. Like, I've given, then knowing that I've done that, is that going to encourage others as well? And you're right, there's a balance there. And that's part of the question. Is that
the highest form of charity is anonymous.
That's the other side of the dialectic. Yes. From the point of view of the person getting charity, it's best that it be anonymous. You don't feel like you're getting something.
Yeah.
But if I know that everyone else is giving, then I am more likely to give. That's part of being human.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of difficult balance. Because
everything's a difficult balance. You don't want it. You want easy.
The person receiving it, you can't say, oh, I gave so-and-so, you know, $500 because I knew they were hurting. Then it looks like, oh, you're like bragging, like, you know, you gave this person money.
Right. So I agree that it's a fine line there between the vanity. But I think the message here of Tzidkat HaMet La'ad is that there is value to knowing about the tzaddik. That's the Karno Tarum.
Yeah.
That the fame spreads out because that will help us. Because we are also, we're literary characters in that sense. We're writing in a book.
So I think it's important the way, not only that you give it and you don't want it to be secret, but the way you give it doesn't look like you're, quote, giving charity, as opposed to sharing what you have.
It is, right, your point's right. I think it's a tough balance.
Yeah.
But life is always about tough balances. Right? Everything's a dialectic. If you want easy answers, easy decisions, then you pick the wrong religion. Okay, so that is, I think, the climax here. Let's go over here. Karno Terum B'Chavod, that is his Karen, this shining light is glorified there. But the parak ends with the Resh Shin Tav is Rasha Yireh V'Ka'as. Russia will see him and become angry. Shinavi yarchik v'nemas. His teeth will be put on edge and melt away. Right? He'll be mad at the tzaddik. Tavat rishaim toved. The desires of the rishaim, as opposed to the tzaddik, will be completely lost. And lost my place here. And I hate to criticize Tehillim and the poetics there, but it, as a concluding pasuk, this disappoints me. I mean, the thought is right. Okay, the tzaddik is great and the Rasha loses out. But I would like something more dramatic, more positive to end it on. You know, we talk about the tzaddik is wonderful, is generous, has bitachon Hashem, becomes an example to others. And then to go into the negative side of whether Rasha and we're all going to lose, I would rather have something about Rasha Yirev Oset Shuvah or something, or end up with the top.
Is that Ta'evat, Rasha'im?
Ta'evat, the top desire.
The appetite.
Yeah, right.
Of the evil ones will be lost. Why are people evil? Because they're so greedy.
Yeah, I mean, the thought's right, but I'd rather have it in the middle, not as a conclusion. It just, nobody asked me, I realize that. It just seems, it seems like a disappointing ending to this particular paragraph.
But is this like the next, like the segue into something about the Russia? Is there next film about the Russia?
Unfortunately not. I was hoping something like that, they would pull something like that to try to justify the... But let's look at Kuf Yud Gimel here. You know, it's Halu Abde Hashem. This goes straight to Hallel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I just don't have a great sense of the poetics here. But I will say, I will quote something from Rav Huttner that says, maybe I'm missing the point of what the Tavat Rishaim is all about. That maybe I'm missing the point there. It's not a cry for vengeance. It's about the nature of Tehillim. This is from Pachad Yitzchak, rule over time. This is a Gemara Bracha. From Rabbi Yehuda, great Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Kuf Gimel Parshiot Amar David. Lo Amar Haluya Ad Sherah Mapala Tam Shel Rishaim. That after 103 Parakim of Tehillim, the first time that we have Haluya is about Mapala Tam Shel Rishaim, when the Rishaim are overthrown. That's the first. Kuf Gimel is the first one that has Haluya. Our Parak is Haluya. Haluya always has this mention, has this implication of Mapalatam Shel Rishaim, that the Rishaim have to be overthrown, like our last pasuk here.
Wow.
Shenamar, as it says, Yitamuch HaTam Arz, Rishaim Odei Nam, Barchinav Shet Hashem Haluya. Kuf Gedalit. Okay? Yitamuch HaTam Arz, that the sinners will end, Rishaim Odei Nam, the Rishaim will no longer exist. That's the way that Barchinav Shet ends, the Haluya. Pachyuza says no, that Mapal Tam Shira Sha'im is a metaphor. Nistam Shira Hu Mapal Tam Shira Sha'im. That general Shira in Tanakh is a song of victory. Shirat Hayam, Shirat Devorah, that's what a Shira is. About overthrowing our enemies. Mimsa, we see that Tochet Abtimishal Shira Nisachona Tov Al Ra. And what Shira is about is the victory of good over evil. Tadik al Rasha. That's what it means to sing Shir, that I have accomplished something. But the Harugah HaPrimit, the weaving, the internal, how do you translate Harugah?
I don't know that word.
I mean, it literally means a garden. Zoremati el Yisachon, it flows toward the internal sense of the Shira, Zoremati, flows. It's a home, but Marachat Hofchim shall kid.
Maybe tapestry or weaving or.
That's when Aleph.
Oh.
Oreg is Aleph. It's not the same word.
So what does this mean?
How do I translate Arugah here? I looked this up before.
Structure, Hapimit?
Yeah. Arugah. Let's see if Google Translate gives me here. A flower bed, yeah, thank you.
Oh, it's like a garden.
Yeah, that's what I said. You mean garden? You meet that the internal. That's more poetic than I would use. So I get the sense of it, right? The internal sense of what a Shira is all about is the Nisachon b'marachat hofchim. It's the victory of opposites, of Kodosh and Chol is really what it's all about. Of the holy, and he's got a whole essay on that, of the holy, of our service of Hashem overcoming the secular, the plain world. That the victory of Rishaim is not so much about Rishaim and about evil, but it's the ability to take the Chol and make it Kadosh. Take everything in the world to the same Shemaya. The Battle of Tov HaRa is symbolic of that. That's what we're seeing in Shira. So we're ending this of Tavat Rishaim Tovei, not so much in the sense of, okay, I want all the bad people to lose that what they want, but I want to be able to take that Tavat, in the sense of Yetzer HaRa, of my
Rasha.
That my Rasha aspects, and turn that into service of Hashem. So that parallel to the Aluyan beginning, we take the Aser Mamarot, we elevate it to the mitzvot of the Aser Tipur, and that's our message here, and we're meant to be a lesson to others. And that's what these two parakim come to teach us. We look at Hashem, we become Yirei Hashem, and we encourage others to become Yirei Hashem in that structure. And that brings us back to David, who, as Hushai is telling him, you can't give up. Yes, your son is trying to kill you. You're on the run, but you can't leave. You need to go back and fight this out because you are the example. You are the one that everyone else is watching. And yes, you are going to be written down in Sefer Shmuel later, and people are going to be learning you 2,000, 3,000 years later. So you got to get this right. I will stop here, and I will continue back on the narrative next time.
Thanks, Danny.